Yeah.
All right, we're on. Praise God. This week has been a struggle for me just to figure out what to talk to you guys about. All right, I was praying all through the reading scripture, and I said, man, when we started this year in January, I said, we're going to go through all of the kingdom parables. We started, and we did a good job. We ran through a lot of the kingdom parables, and they did good, and then the virus struck. All right, churches closed down, and that changed a little bit. And so I asked my wife, should we go back to that? Should we go back to teaching? And she said, yeah. And then I really worked. I worked hard on it Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday in prayer. And, have you ever worked and you just feel like it ain't going nowhere?
Yeah.
Right? And so Wednesday, I come home. I said, honey, I'm trying to force this thing. It just doesn't fit. What am I going to do? Somebody's on the road, man. It's like a train coming out of the blue. And I'm going to have to speak. I don't have nothing to talk about. Thursday, I came home and said, honey, it's Thursday. I'm beating my head against the Bible. What should I preach? I don't have nothing to talk about. And so she said, I don't know, you better pray. I've been praying. And I said, yeah, right. I'm always praying. Anyhow, but I come in Friday morning, and I'm asking God. I said, God, what do you want? And he said, that's it. I said, what's it? He said, what are you going to talk about? I said, God, what do you want? He said, that's it. I said, what's it? He said, that's what I want. Okay, I want you to teach people about what I want. So what does God want? So that's what we're going to talk about. What does God want from us? Well, do you know that God wants something from you?
Yeah.
You know, he paid it all. Amen. There's power in the blood. Jesus paid it all. Amen. All to him I owe. But what does God want from his people? I said, man. I said, Lord, can I even talk about that? I come so short of what you want. He said, I knew your height. I knew that you're short when I made you. All right, so don't worry about coming short. I know, it's a flat joke. It's a short joke. So, anyhow, as I was coming to the Lord and I was asking him about it, the first scripture that came to my mind was Micah chapter 6. You know, what does God want from you? What does he expect from you? And so as we're about ready to get into this sermon, into this teaching, let me go to the Lord in prayer, because I want his word to be heard, not my word. That's the one thing I want. I don't want me to be heard at all. Dear Father, I thank you so much. I pray, Lord God, as I'm about ready to open my mouth and get into your word, I pray, Father, that I would decrease immensely, that your word would increase, Father, that you would send the Holy Spirit, that you would talk to your people, Father, that you would move over us and illuminate your people, your body, with your truth. And I thank you and I praise you for that in Jesus' name. This is the scripture that I came to in Micah chapter 6 and starting in verse 6. And if you want to open your Bible, you can. I suggest that you do. With what shall I come before the Lord? Amen. What am I going to come before the Lord with? What am I going to bring to him? Micah was struggling with this, and I'm struggling with it all the time. And Lord, all right, you said not me, you. So keep God. All right. What shall I come before the Lord and bow myself before the Most High God? Shall I come before him with burnt offerings, with calves of a year old? Will the Lord be pleased with 1,000 rams or with 1,000 rivers of oil? Shall I give him my firstborn for my transgression? The fruit of my body for the sin of my soul? What shall we bring before God? God, what shall I bring before you? You're the Most High God. I want to come before you with the spirit of truth. I want to come before you and worship you in that truth with the spirit that you've given me, that I might be in line with you. As I was thinking about this, and as God was mulling this over with me, you know, God really doesn't want our burnt offerings.
No.
He doesn't. He does not care about
what we offer him of the world.
Amen.
Right? He doesn't care about what you have, what he's blessed you with, and you give it back. He doesn't care about your burnt offerings. If you were able to get 1,000 rivers of oil and bring it before the Lord, I don't care about that, he would say.
It tells us in 1 Samuel 15 and 22, behold, to obey, amen, is better than sacrifice.
Yes, amen.
To obey God, it's better than sacrifice. To hearken, to listen to what he says is better than sacrifice. It's better than burnt offerings. It's better than calves of a year old. It's better than 1,000 rams. It's better than 10,000 rivers of oil. It's better than giving your firstborn child to cover your sin. Obeying God, listening to what God says is far above any of that stuff.
That's right.
Says, what does he really want? He wants you.
Amen.
He doesn't want just a part of you. He doesn't want what you can manufacture. He wants what he's already put in you. He knew you before you were conceived.
Amen.
And when you were being formed in your mama's womb, he knew every ounce of you, every bit of you, and that's what he wants from you.
Amen.
It's not what you can give him. It's what he's given you. Are you willing to give that back? Are you willing to take what God has already implanted in you, your characteristics, your life, your brain, your hands, your eyes, your very spirit? Are you willing to take what God has given to you and lay that on the altar of sacrifice and offer it back to him?
Amen.
Because he does not care about your car. He does not care about your house. He doesn't care about the garbage that we collect and put into storehouses. That's not what God wants. He wants you.
Amen.
He doesn't want part of you. He doesn't want a piece of you. He wants the fullness of you.
Amen.
Are we willing to give that back to the one who paid so much for us? Psalm chapter 50, if you'll turn to that, I'm going to read some out of this from verse 5 through 14. Say amen when you get there. Come on, it's not that far. Amen. Has anyone got there yet? Psalm 50. He says, verse 5, he says, gather my saints together unto me. All right, let's get together. All right, come on. The psalmist is saying, come on, let's gather together. Let's come together. Gather my saints unto me, those who have made a covenant with me by sacrifice. All right? Have you made a covenant with God with the sacrifice that he wants? Have you made a covenant with God through the sacrifice of his son? Have you come before him with an openness of heart, with a willingness of heart to say that you are his minister, that he wants to work in you? Have you surrendered your life to his will?
Amen.
Amen. Call those people together. I don't want everybody. I just want the ones who are called. I want the ones who really want me. I want those who are willing to say that they love me to the point of dying to themselves. Are you there yet? If you're there, it's time to come together. All right, it's time to come together underneath the fullness of God. And he says in verse 6 and following, and the heavens shall declare his righteousness, for God is judge himself. Think of that, Selah. I love it when it says Selah. That means don't just read through. Take a minute and understand what he just says. Gather to me the saints that have made a covenant by sacrifice. Remember what the heavens are. They're so far above you. They're so far outside of your capability of understanding. Think of the heavens that are there. Think of that. They declare his righteousness. The stars and the sky, they declare the righteousness of God. Do you know that? When you get alone with God and you start praying and seeking God and you see it's autumn times coming, the changing of the leaves are happening around us all everywhere. Do you see the beauty in that? That's God's righteousness. Amen. The snow's about ready to come, and I don't like snow, but every snowflake is an individual, right? And all of the majesty and the righteousness of God is within that. Oh, how he loves us, right? And is his righteousness. For God is a judge himself. Think of that. Hear, O my people, and I will speak, O Israel. You can say, O Caledonia. In fact, remember, Israel, not only is it a nation, it's a person's name.
Jacob, the heel catcher, was Jacob, the heel catcher, until he was beloved of God, Israel. Right? So, hear, O beloved of God. Hear, O Israel. Are you beloved of God? Listen. I am, and I will testify against thee. I am God, even thy God. I will not reprove thee. I will not reprove thee for thy sacrifices or thy burnt offerings to have been made continually before me. I will take no bullock out of thy house, nor a he-goat out of thy field. Every beast of the forest is mine, and the cattle upon a thousand hills. I know all the fowls of the mountains and the wild beasts of the field. They are mine, God says. He says that they belong to him. If I were hungry, God speaking, if I were hungry, I would not tell you. And it says thee. I said, yeah. Anyhow, I would not tell thee. For the world is mine and the fullness thereof. Will I eat the flesh of bulls or drink the blood of goats? Offer unto God thanksgiving and pay thy vows unto the Most High. Pay what you owe God.
Amen.
All right, pay him. Right, listen, the sacrifices, like you said before, what can I offer God? What does he want from me? Listen, if he was hungry, he would order up Domino's for himself. Right? He does not need what you have. He doesn't need your money. He paves the streets with gold, right? He doesn't need anything you have that is made of this world. God owns it all.
Amen.
He knows every bird. He knows them by name, by song, by feather. He knows them all. He knows every deer, every bull, every calf. He knows everything, and he knows you.
Amen.
There's nothing on this world that you can offer the Most High God short of yourself.
Yes.
Your obedience to him, your sworn allegiance, and pay to God the things that you owe God.
Yes.
Right? Yes. Often we think, well, I'm going to sacrifice to God. I'm going to come to church on Sunday morning. If that's how you feel, stay home.
Amen.
Right? If you think that you're coming here to sacrifice to God, don't. You say, wow, that's harsh. You got a small enough church. You're trying to run us off? No, I'm trying to clean out.
Amen.
Right?
Amen.
I'm trying to clean out. Do you really want to be used by God? Do you really want to be blessed by God? Then pay what you owe God to him. Right? What do you owe him? Everything.
Amen. Right.
You don't owe him a spot or a bed or a dollar. You owe him everything that you are.
Amen.
You shall love the Lord your God with all. Amen? A-L-L. All of your strength. All of your might. Everything you have, you're supposed to. You owe it to him. He made you. He created you. You are supposed to be his servant.
Amen.
Church, we've lost that concept.
That's right.
That he is God and we're not.
Mm-hmm. Right.
What he starts out with saying there in verse 6 of Micah 6, which shall I come before and bow myself to the Most High God. Do you understand what it means to bow before God? It's more than just bending the knee. I mean, don't get me wrong. When I pray, I normally take one of those pillows right there, and I put them right, and I'm standing where I normally pray. This is the spot. Amen. Not that this is special. I could pray on that side as much as this side, but this is closer to my door. Okay, so I get here, and I bow down right here, and I pray, and I seek God's wisdom. I seek God, and I bow my knee before the Most High God. And I do that for practice, okay? Because there's coming a time that every knee is going to bow and every tongue is going to confess that Jesus Christ is the Lord.
Amen.
I want to get used to it while I'm here. Amen. I don't want it to be a new thing. What do you mean I got to bow? Now, when you look at Scripture as a whole and you see anybody who comes into the presence of the Most High God, they fall down.
Yeah.
They fall down. Even Jesus, when he went and he prayed, he bowed himself. Sometimes he would lay prostrate. Do you know what that means? Well, flat out. Lay flat out before the Lord. Now, when we pray, how often do we lay flat out
I mean, really, I mean, some folks say, I can't kneel because my knees are sore. And, okay, praise God, don't kneel. All right, so you can't. You're unable to kneel. You're cut off at the hips, and you can't kneel, right? So you know what you can do? Lay up. That's, I mean, when you go to the Lord, do you really consider yourself humbled like that? That He's God. Anytime you enter into the presence of a king, bow down. Right? Not a worldly king, but the real, true king. I'm not going to bow my knee to Black Lives Matter, but I will bow my knee to Jesus Christ. Amen? I'm going to bow down when I go to Him, when I pray. I fall prostrate, humble, broken before God. It's not that He hears my prayer any better with me bowing. What it does, it keeps me in the right mindset.
Yeah.
It makes me think of Him as high and holy and lifted up and awesome.
Amen.
And I'm not.
Bless God.
And I mean, there's nothing wrong with praying and driving and stuff like that, but it's really hard to kneel and drive. Right?
Yeah.
Nothing wrong with walking around and praying, you know? But I, when I'm driving, you know, I'm thinking about a lot of other things. You know that? I'm thinking about driving. I'm thinking about that idiot on the other side of the road. Is he drunk this morning? Is he going to run me off the road? I'm driving defensively. I'm worried about the deer running out in front of me. So, but when I am bowed down, I have everything else turned off. Everything else is moved to the side. And he says, Micah is saying here, with God shall I come before Him and bow myself before the Most High God. I think bowing down to begin with, not just physically, but mentally, spiritually, before the Most High God.
Amen.
Now, I believe that bowing down physically is truly something that we need to get back into the practice of in your personal prayer life. Bow before the Lord God. Again, every knee is going to bow, every tongue is going to confess. That's mentioned in Philippians 2 and 11, Romans 14, 11, and Numbers 14, 21 through 28, and Isaiah 49, 18. So if you don't think God's meaning it, it's in the Old Testament and in the New Testament. That prostrate, falling down, bowing before the Lord is something that needs to be done. And we don't need to wait until that great and terrible day of God. We need to bow down every day before the Lord. Humble ourselves every day before the Lord. When Peter and James and John saw Jesus transfigured in Matthew 17, verses 1 through 6, when they saw Him, and when they heard the voice, they fell on their faces and were very much afraid. The awe of God was before them. How about us? Do we really come and we bow down? Do we really kneel? In our physical body, but actually in our mental state. Do we humble ourselves before the Most Holy One, the Creator of all things? Every time, exactly what I've already said before, every time that somebody comes into the face of God, or that humility, that awe, that honor, when we come before the King of Kings.
Amen.
So it says, and He, Yahweh, God, He'll show you, oh man, what is good. Isn't it good to know that God's going to show you what's good?
Amen.
I need to know, because that crazy bow-legged short pastor that's up there that's talking to you right now, he doesn't really know everything. All right? In fact, I'll let you know I know very little. One thing I do know is that we need to come before God in a certain attitude.
Amen.
Of prayer.
Right.
And a certain reverence of who He is. And a holiness of an awesome God. Mm-hmm. Right? And that's, if anything, one thing that God wants is us to know that. You know, no doubt Jesus is our friend if we do whatsoever He commands, right? You've got to remember the if. Everybody says, Jesus is my friend. Jesus is my friend. But they never say, I'm going to do what He says.
Yeah.
All right? Jesus is my friend as long as I get to do what I want. No, Jesus is your friend if you obey Him. If you do what He commands you, then He's your friend. If you're not doing what He commands you, I better check your friendship, right? You better go back and look at that. Yahweh, He'll show you, oh man, what is good. The name of the Lord is good. Amen?
Bless.
The name of God is good. He showed you that. The attributes of God is good. The Ten Commandments of God,
They are good. And the Ten Commandments, you know what they really are? They're expressing who God is.
Amen.
The Ten Commandments of God, they're not just laws that we should not break. We shouldn't break them because they're telling us who God is. And we're supposed to be like Him.
Amen.
God would never lie to you, so don't bear false witness. God would never mess around on you, so don't fornicate. God would never, He would never worship something higher, so don't you worship anything but Him. Right? Hold. God would never murder you, so don't murder other people.
Amen.
Right? Those are the attributes of God. He loves you. And He wants you to know about. Those are good. He has shown you, old man, that what is good. And those attributes are good.
Blessing.
The law of God is good. And to know what He has shown us is good. Amen. We are no longer ignorant. As the rich young man was in Mark chapter 10 and verse 18, and he came running to Jesus, and he called Jesus good. Right? Now, catch the picture. Jesus has been teaching. He talked about the little kids coming to him and all those things. And then this rich young fellow comes up. He says, good master, good teacher. Jesus says, why do you call me good? You know that there's none good except the Father? Now, Jesus was about to show him what was good. Now, He gave him the commandments, love your mom and dad, do all these things. And the man said, I have done these from my youth. Then Jesus said, well, let's look at the one thing that's not good in you. Sell what you have.
Mm-hmm.
Get rid of what? Get rid of the thing that's stopping you from walking with me. Get rid of that and follow me. Now, yours may not be wealth. It may not be money. It may be something else. What do you owe God? What's your vow to God?
Yep.
Right? Everything. Everything, sister. You're right. It's everything. Are you willing to give it away that you might gain God? What good is it if a man gains the world and yet loses his own soul? Right? It's worth nothing. He has shown you what is good, oh man. He also told us in Micah, and this is where, actually I'm going to start teaching from this. All that other stuff is just to prepare you for the next stuff, all right? These next things that we're going to talk, He has shown thee, O man, Micah 6, 8, He has shown thee, O man, what is good, and what doeth the Lord require of thee. Praise God, He has shown you what's good and what He requires. But to do good, that means justly and the right thing.
Amen.
To do justly, to do good, all right, to do good. To love mercy. Oh, how is that in your life? Do you love mercy? Do you pray for your enemies? Right? Those who do you wrong, I mean, would you pray that God's mercy be put on Cuomo or His judgment? How about those Antifa people out there? Are you praying for God's mercy on them that they could come to know the Lord Jesus Christ as their personal Savior? How about these crazy liberals all over Washington and all over the states? How about praying for those guys instead of coming against them and talking nasty about them? Which I'm guilty of. All right, I'm not standing here holier than you. I'm trying to crawl out of the mud. All right, the goop of my own mind. Okay? I need to love mercy for my enemies.
Amen.
Right? Bring them before the Lord and say, God, change their heart. Instead of, boy, I'd like to grab old Cuomo by the scruff of his neck and stomp a mud hole in the middle of him. Because that's my heart. That's what I want to do to him. But God says I need to love mercy, to do justly. To do justly. You know what's good? To do justly, love mercy. And then the last part, to walk humbly with thy God.
Amen.
So what does it look like to do God, to love mercy, to walk humbly with God? The instruction begins, like we said, to bow down. And then he talks to that rich young ruler. Psalms again says, if I will freely sacrifice unto thee, O Lord, our Lord, that's who he's talking, and I will praise the name of the Lord, for it is good. All right? This is Psalm 54 and verse 6. He says, listen, I'm going to freely. That means I'm going to do it without any inhibitions. I'm going to come freely with the fullness of who I am. I'm going to come before God. I'm going to sacrifice to God the thing that He wants from me. He wants me to praise his name.
Amen.
God is looking, John chapter 4, the woman at the well, Jesus says, God is looking for those who would worship him in spirit and in truth.
Amen.
In spirit, fully looking. God wants a people group that would be honest and open and broken before him. That would lay their faults out, their sin out before him. Not trying to cover them up, not trying to hide them, not trying to mask them into something they're not. But just to unwrap it and say, God, you already know. You know the slime that's here. And now I see it in reflection of the Most High glory. And my vow, what you've saved me for, is to die to that.
Amen.
To die to my flesh, to die to my will, that his will might live in me. Church, we need to get back to the very cornerstone of our relationship with God. Back Amen. To the meat of who he is. And willingly, without inhibitions, pour it before God as a sacrifice to him. That's the only thing he wants out of us.
Mm-hmm.
There's not a dollar bill in your pocket that God didn't put there anyhow.
That's right.
Right? There's not a thing that you own, a piece of thread on your back that God hasn't given you.
Mm-hmm.
He doesn't want any of that stuff. He already owns it all. You know what he doesn't own? Your free will.
Yes, amen.
He doesn't own. He gave you that. That's yours. It's your free will. Now, will you offer that free will back to him because he loves you?
Amen.
He loves you. Say, oh, he loves you so much. And all he wants is for us to worship that way.
Amen.
God, here's my sacrifice. It's all of me.
Amen.
All right? It's all of me. I'm not holding nothing back. It's the good, it's the bad, it's the indecent, it's the ugly. And now I want to be cleansed from all of my unrighteousness that I might become the image of the Most High Son of God.
Bless God. Praise Him.
What a gift. What a gift. What a desire God has for you.
Yeah.
And it's all about His work, not yours.
Amen.
It's all about his sacrifice, not yours. It's all about him giving you the ability to worship him in the fullness of your life. Oh, to offer that before God, that thing that is good. And it's not necessarily obeying the commandments, but it's doing what God has called you to do.
Amen.
To love that mercy. Oh, we touched on this just a minute, but okay, what one thing I lack, like the rich young ruler, he had too much stuff, and Jesus said it's easier for a camel to go through an eye of a needle than a rich man to go into heaven, that kind of thing. I am a critical dude. I am. And I don't have much mercy. I mean, I'll be honest with you. Yeah, I wish I had more. All right, but this is who I am. I'm trying. All right, I'm trying to do better. I'm trying to love more.
Amen.
Now, I got a lot more mercy than what I used to have because I used to not care at all. But God is doing a work in me.
Yes.
But I still got some things I need to overcome.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Those folks who sent to do my family harm, I want to do them harm back. But God says, don't do that.
Amen.
All right? With the governor and the president and all of that stuff in this world, I want it to die a wicked death, right? But God's saying, like he told Jonah about Nineveh, do you know that there's so many people that are still crawling that don't know me?
Amen.
They're just babies.
Right.
Can't I have mercy on them? Jonah's sitting up there, call down fire, crush him, kill him. God's saying, love mercy, Jonah, Curtis, love mercy. There's people that still need the mercy of Christ, even though they're sinners, even though they're sinning against the Most High God, even they're doing these ungodly things, they still need mercy, they still need love, they still need compassion. Curtis, why ain't you broken for them instead of angry at them? I was looking at mercy, and I was realizing where I was in God's sight. I am a worm before Him. Y'all may already have that mercy thing cornered. But I think there's some of y'all here today that need to work on mercy and not judgment.
Amen. Amen. Oh,
we need to seek the Lord while He might be found. Mercy. It's what mercy means is to show compassion.
Yes.
The psalmist again in Psalm 51 and verse 1. Have mercy on me, O God, according to Thy loving kindness, according to the multitude of Thy tender mercies. Blot out my transgressions. Wash me thoroughly from mine iniquities and cleanse me from my sin. Amen? Now, why can't we pray that for somebody else? Right? Here you go. Lord God, have mercy on Cuomo. According to Your loving kindness, God. According to Your multitude, Your tender mercies, Lord God. I pray that You would bring him to salvation, to blot out his transgressions. Oh, Father God, wash him thoroughly for his iniquity and cleanse him from his sin. How about a prayer like that? Instead of, God, I want to flatten his tires and key his car. Right? How about that, church? What would that do? If the body of Christ would pray for the enemies of God that way.
Amen.
What would that do? Or as Isaiah said in Isaiah 55 and 6, Oh, seek the Lord while He may be found. Call ye upon Him while He is near. Let the wicked forsake his ways, and the unrighteous man his thought. And let him return unto the Lord, and He will have mercy upon him, and to our God, for He will abundantly pardon. Now pray that for somebody who's against the way of the Constitution, the way of God, a way of America, okay? Lord God, I pray for those liberal leaders, Lord Jesus, those who are confused by the darkness of this world. I pray for the wickedness that is in them, Father. I pray that You would lead them to forsake their ways and the unrighteous man his thought, Father. I pray that You would lead them, that You would change me and help me to help them, Father. And let them return to the Lord that made them, Father God, move mighty on them. That You would have mercy. God, have mercy on their soul, Lord. They're dying and going to hell. Have mercy on them. What if we were to pray that? What if we really prayed for mercy for those guys who are hurting us, that are killing their children? What if we prayed for those abortion clinics instead of standing against them and marching and holding signs, God hates homos? And what if we prayed for those people?
Amen.
What if we asked God's mercy on those people? What would change? What would change? What would change? Church, what would change if we really sought the mercy of God? He loved you. He saved you. He showed His mercy to you. And we're supposed to be the representatives of Him on this earth. Do we love mercy? That's what God wants from us. Church, what does He want from you? To love. Love mercy.
Weep. Amen.
Weep. Amen. Amen. Weep. Weep. When was the last time you cried over the sin of America? I mean, really? When was the last time you actually got down on your face before God and you begged for mercy from the Most High God? When was the last time you really were broken? Not of your sin, but the sin of America. When was the last time you ripped your clothes and you hollered out, God, forgive me? Come on, people. Where's the church today? Why are we not? No! Why are we there? What is wrong with me? I'm supposed to be a child of the Most High God. What's wrong with me? Why can't I find that mercy and pray for that mercy? Why can't I be broken? Because of my stinking pride. It's because of your stinking, rotten pride.
Amen.
Oh God. God, forgive me. walking humbly with God. How can we even get there from where we're at? Really, church, how can we get? How can we get to walk humbly with God, with this horrible American dream? This pride that we're better than other people. This pride that thinks that we know it all, that we're the church, that we've arrived, and everybody else is going to hell. How can we walk humbly with God if we have that in our mind? Oh, there are people who do walk humbly with God. Noah, Abraham, his disciples after he changed them. There are people even in our day and time that walk humbly with God.
Amen.
I got to tell you, I'm not one of them. It makes me... I'm ashamed of that. Are we ashamed of our pride? When was the last time we really desired to walk humbly with God? In a brokenness. Do we even know what's good anymore? Church, we know who is good. Jesus is God. The Word is good. All right. The law is good. God's law is good. Those are good things. Amen. His love for you, a sinner, is good. But how about us? If God was willing to seek your heart out today, if he's willing to look in you, he says, are you walking humbly with me? Do you love mercy? Are you seeking God? You can. You can do it. But you know what you're probably going to have to do? Doubt yourself.
Surrender.
Absolutely. Say it again,
absolute.
Sister. Absolute surrender.
No holds barred.
Yay. Yay, no holds barred. We've got to get over our self-righteousness. We've got to get over thinking that we know anything.
Amen. Yeah. Right.
We've got to stop thinking that we're right.
Amen.
We are not right. If you really examine yourself, you're not right with God. You might be righter than I am. Okay, but when you compare yourself to me, yeah, you look real good. But when you compare yourself to God, you're a rotten, stinking, miserable sinner deserving of the judgment of God. Because I guarantee you, not all of us love mercy out there. I will guarantee you, not all of us are seeking the will of God. Not all of us are desiring His righteousness. The good, to do good. To do good, I don't know. Isn't that what the psalmist said? I don't know how to do good. So I need to be taught.
Amen.
But God will not teach the proud. He resists the proud.
Yeah.
But he gives grace to the humble.
Yeah.
Church, when are we going to get off our high horse? And I know that y'all are here in the chairs. But this is going out. There's thousands of people that are going to hear this. When... We don't have much time left. Amen. Jesus is coming.
That's right.
And there's a lot of people who think they're going and ain't. There's a lot of people in their own self-righteousness. They think that they have done. They've walked humbly before God. They think they love mercy. They think that they have done justly in their own mind. But if I do what's just to me and it's not just to God, then I am a miserable lion snake.
Amen?
And that goes for all of us. We got to get back, people. We got to get back to the cornerstone of Jesus Christ. Because, people, times are going to get tough. Times are going to get tough. And not saying that you need to know that you're saved. All right? Because there's a lot of people, Jesus said, not everybody who says to me, Lord, Lord, will be welcome into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth my Father's will. Not everybody who says, or they'll come to me in that day saying, Lord, Lord, have we not done this? Have we not done that? Didn't we do some cool stuff? God says, get away from me. I never knew you, you who work iniquity. What does God want? Well, first, he wants you to be serious.
Amen.
He wants you to be real with him. He was real with you. He wants you to be honest and open and broken, humble, broken before the Most High God. He wants you to love mercy. What does he want? Well, he wants us to walk with him.
Amen.
You know, that's really what he wants. Amos 3:3 says, can two walk together except they agree? Now, catch that. Look at what Amos is saying. Can two walk together unless they're of one mindset? If God is good and he loves mercy, he does justly, and we don't, can we walk with him? Just wrap your mind around that. I have shown thee, O man, what is good. But the Lord requires of thee to do good, to love mercy, and walk humbly with God. Amos says, can two walk together except they be agreed in one mindset? Walking means to be in unity in the Bible. When it talks about walking in a certain way, it means to be in a unity, in agreement with something. So if we're really to walk with God in real humility, loving mercy, we must be in agreement with him.
Amen.
And live a lifestyle that pleases God.
Amen. That's it.
Amen. Mm-hmm. It is live a lifestyle that pleases God. Have we ever looked at our life and said, does this please God? Is the life that I'm living, if the stuff that I'm doing, is God looking at this and saying, well done, my good and faithful servant? See, we're waiting till we die in the great by and by, you know, and God says that on the final day, right? Well done, my good and faithful servant, enter in, right? That's what we're looking forward to. But how about right now? Because if he can't look at you right now and say, well done, my good and faithful servant, there's no way he'll say it when you stand before him in heaven. Because he can't do two. He's either one way or the other. He is right and we are not.
Amen.
Amen. Walk in unity with God. Romans 8:4 says that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us who walk not after the flesh but after the Spirit. See, we've read that and said it so many times. I think we've glazed over the real meat of what he's saying there. The depth of Galatians 5:16. There you go.
Walk in the Spirit and not fulfill the lust of the flesh.
Amen. If you walk in the Spirit, if you are in unity with the Spirit, you will not fulfill the lust of the flesh. And unity of the Spirit means loving mercy, walking humbly, and doing the just things. The righteousness of the law is to be made complete in us. In you. When the world sees you, the church, it ought to see the righteousness of God.
Amen.
The humbleness of God. Well, not the humbleness of God, but the humbleness God requires of us. The mercy of God in us for others. somebody goes out to steal your Trump sign, do you shoot them?
They better not take mine. I'll pray for them.
Amen. There you go, sister. You better not take mine. I'll pray for them. Right? I saw this week in the news. Crazy liberal. I'm praying for this person. She goes and she says that she mistaken her brother's lawn for the lawn that was across the street as somebody else's lawn. She went and took their Trump sign. Guy jumps out there with a BB gun and shoots her. Hell yeah. Alright. Cuts her pretty bad. She's bleeding. Right? I'm not saying if he's a Christian or not. None of my business. Right? If he was, would you shoot somebody taking your Trump sign? Kicking your dog. That's my dog. You better not kick him. I'll shoot you. You kick my dog. Jesus talks about the narrow way, Matthew 7, again, 13 and 14. Are we really getting off of the broad way that leads to destruction, church? All right? There's two roads. One's going to lead to the gates of righteousness. The other's going to lead to hell. Which road are you on? And don't say, because I said a prayer, I'm okay with Jesus. John the Baptizer says that God could raise up these stones to be the children of Abraham. Mm-hmm. Right? Just because you say that you're of Abraham doesn't mean that you are. Just because you say you're a Christian doesn't mean you are.
Yes.
God requires of you to do justly. Mm-hmm. Not justice the way the world sees it, but justice the way God sees it. And not justice for others, but justice for you, right? In your life. Are you doing justly? He tells us to love mercy. He says, pray for those who spitefully use you and say all manner against you. Pray for those people. I have failed there. But I want you to know something. I'm going to change. I'm not doing that. God broke me right here. He crushed me with that love mercy this week. Friday morning, 4 o'clock, right here weeping before God. When I realized that I am nowhere near where I need to be.
But he knows that we're but dust.
Yes, he does.
And he's faithful.
He is faithful.
We are all works in progress.
Amen.
And we will grow as we know Scripture.
If
the secret.
If we walk with him.
Right.
If we don't walk with him, he'll let you think that you're okay. Right? You'll be deceived. You need, amen. What you're saying is absolutely right, sister. You're absolutely right. He is completing the work that he started in you. But if your pride gets in the way, God's not going to force you to follow him. God's not going to force you to love mercy. God's not going to force you to do justly. God's not going to force you to walk humbly with him.
He's sure going to make you miserable.
Yeah. He will. He chastens those whom he loves. Amen.
He's faithful.
But how many people here are comfortable in their misery? You know that God's chastening you. You know that God's doing work in you. But I'm good enough. I said the prayer. God's going to come get me. No problem. I'm going to continue to be mean, nasty to everybody I see. But I pray the prayer. I'm safe. I'm sliding into home. Amen. But a lot of Christians say that.
But God's still faithful.
He is faithful.
He knows how to get them.
Yes, he does.
And they're not all called.
Yeah, you're right. Not everybody's called, but the ones that are. Yeah. And I believe that a lot of people that are in the church today are under a false belief system.
Yes, I believe.
Because they're not doing what God has required them to do. Yet we have more hatred than we have love in the church. Shame on us. We have more condemnation than we have forgiveness. Shame on us. The only thing that needs to change here is us. Because there's no shame in him. Are you ready? I ain't got much left to say. All right, I'm at the end of my notes. I don't, in fact, as the Holy Spirit's talking to me right now, I got nothing else to say right now. What you do with this, this teaching that you just had, what you do with this about doing justly, doing good, about loving mercy, about walking humbly with God, what you do with this will show what you really believe about God. And it's very personal. Amen. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we do love you and we praise you.
Yes.
Lord, I pray that we, as the body of Christ, would take this understanding of Micah that you gave him for that time and apply it to us in this time. Lord, you're still seeking. And praise God for continual sanctification. You're still building.
Bless you. Praise you.
Father, I ask that even now, through the power of the Holy Spirit, that you've already shown us what we need to do as individuals. You've already shown us, Lord God, the sin that we're loving more than we love you. Father, you've already exposed the iniquity that needs to be changed in us. And I ask, Father God, that you would move over your people and illuminate them with your truth.
Yes.
Only you can change the heart, Father.
Amen.
I pray, Jesus, that you would take this heart of stone that's in us, that hard place that's full of unforgiveness and self-righteousness and pride, Father, and that you would take that stony part and turn it into a heart that is fully given over to you.
Amen.
Lord, I ask that. I claim it in the name of Jesus Christ, and I pray for the church the same thing. In Jesus' name we ask. Amen.
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 Anybody know how to sew?
Kind of sewing, field or fabric? Or souls.
Yeah.
Oh, goodness. Didn't mean to do that. I ripped a fabric.
Yeah, I did. I ripped my butt slap off.
I'll teach you how to sew it on. Then you can do it for the rest of your life.
Amen. I'm afraid to touch this because I don't know what happens. Anybody know how to tear this thing off?
Oh, yeah.